Thank you, John, James, and all 41 of you. I appreciate you being here all afternoon and leading us in worship tonight. What a great time of worship. Open your Bibles to 2 Thessalonians. We're going to finish up our walk through 1 and 2 Thessalonians this evening by taking a look at the last three verses of this letter. And then we're going to get out a little bit early and have an opportunity to walk through our new worship center. Ray Griffin's going to give you a guide, and we'll have a good time seeing that facility, but also praying the Lord's blessing as we prepare to make that transition. 2 Thessalonians ends with a double blessing. It seems that Paul dictated most of his letters, some sort of a secretary. He spoke and they wrote down. And as he comes to the end of 2 Thessalonians, he wraps it up, but then he signs off. And so there's a blessing when he finishes dictating the letter, and then there's a blessing with his own hand. And we get a double blessing out of it. Remember, we've seen in 2 Thessalonians that Paul seems to have a suspicion that maybe someone has impersonated him with a letter. Maybe written a letter in his name that he didn't write. And so he wants to make sure they know what his signature looks like so that they won't be fooled in the future. And we see that come into play. Let's take a look at verse 16, 17, and 18. Now may the Lord of peace himself continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with you all. I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand. And this is a distinguishing mark in every letter. This is the way I write. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. As we study this letter and really all that the Apostle Paul writes in the New Testament, we begin to realize that Paul walked through life with two great passions. It's kind of like his right foot and his left foot. Over and over again, we find him with these passions. Exalting Jesus and encouraging the church. He's always exalting the Lord Jesus. And he's got this hurt, this heart, this drive, this desire to encourage the brethren, the church. And we've seen this as a theme of the letter. We see it coming across now here in his benediction, his conclusion. And so let's just see how he does this in these three verses. The way he exalts Christ is so common, it's so typical of Paul that sometimes, maybe if you've been in church a lot, read the Bible a lot, you begin to take some of this language for granted. But look how Paul exalts the Lord Jesus in these benedictions. First of all, three times he calls Jesus Lord. Lord, Lord. Remember that if that's not true, it's blasphemy. Lord doesn't just mean boss. Lord is the title that the Old Testament gives to Yahweh, the God of Israel. And so when in the New Testament we find Paul and others with the audacity to call Jesus Lord, they're exalting him above every other name. And here in this text, Jesus Christ is called Lord three times. Paul also exalts Jesus by praying directly to Jesus. Again, this is something that we don't think much about. We do it all the time. But Paul prays to Jesus when in verse 16 he says, now may the Lord of peace himself continually grant you peace in every circumstance. He calls upon the Lord to give them peace. And finally, you might not notice this, but Paul associates Old Testament language of blessing with Jesus. It was common in the Old Testament to say, the Lord of peace be with you all. the Lord be with you all. We find that coming from an angel to Gideon in the Old Testament. We find the same kind of blessing coming from Boaz to Ruth. The Lord be with you. We find that all through the Old Testament, even in the New Testament, when the angel appears to Mary, he says, the Lord be with you. But here, Paul doesn't hesitate to pick up that Old Testament blessing and use it as a blessing that comes to us from Jesus. He is the Lord. The Lord be with you all. Now, I realize that I'm preaching to the choir here. I don't need to convince you here on Sunday night that Jesus is Lord. I don't need to talk you into having a high Christology. But I do want to remind you of something that we started out with way back when we started 1 Thessalonians last fall. And we'll end with it here. One of the primary theological values of studying 1 and 2 Thessalonians is we clearly come to understand that from the earliest time in the New Testament church, the Christians had what we call a high Christology. Jesus is Lord. He's God. He's a source of blessing. And remember, 1 and 2 Thessalonians are written within 20 years of Pentecost. Right? These are some of the earliest New Testament documents. Written 20 years before the Gospels were written down. And we find in 1 and 2 Thessalonians this high Christology, and not being argued for or instructed, but being assumed. It was the assumed truth of the church from the earliest indication. And so, if you're paying attention, you'll come across people today, and they usually present this as if it's a new idea, but it's as old as falsehood. And it's a false notion that, well, Jesus is really just a fellow from Galilee, just a Nazareth, maybe a revolutionary. And then later on, the church built up around him this layer of tradition, and they decided that he was not just a man from Galilee, but he was the Son of God. Well, 1 and 2 Thessalonians present a strong case against that. Within 20 years of Pentecost, Paul is assuming that the church agrees with him that Jesus is Lord. We pray to Jesus. He is equal with Yahweh in the Old Testament, the Lord God Almighty. So he is exalting the Lord Jesus in a beautiful way. I'm not going to be here next Sunday. I'm preaching at Southern Seminary in Chapel just a few days after Sunday. I'm going to take some time off and go there and spend a few days on the campus preparing to preach to them, because what I preach to them, I'm going to preach to you on Easter Sunday and 2 weeks following. And hey, you got to double up every chance you get, right? And what I'm going to preach at Southern Seminary in one sermon, I'm going to preach to you in three. Psalm. Not that I need to move a little slower with you. I'm not, is Psalm 110. And I'm going to preach that psalm on Easter Sunday and the two Sundays following, because it's a great Old Testament text that helps us understand the implications of the resurrection. Remember, that's the text where David says, the Lord Yahweh says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make thine enemies a footstool under your feet. He is Lord. He is Lord. He is risen from the dead, and he is Lord. And that is a core truth of the Christian community, and it has been from the beginning. So we find here Paul exalting Jesus. We also find as Paul concludes the letter, that he's encouraging the church. Remember that word encouragement? To come alongside, stand firm. Look how Paul encourages the church. First of all, I want you to notice the word all. In some ways, these benedictions are very typical. The Lord be with you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. But what is atypical about 2 Thessalonians is the addition of the word all. So that in verse 16, the Apostle Paul says, the Lord be with you all. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. And if you were here this morning, you might understand why this is so important to Paul as he wraps this letter up. He's just given some a strong challenge, an admonition. But as he departs with the blessing, he wants even those disruptive idols, those unruly members, to know that he loves them, that he wishes the Lord would be with them, and the grace of the Lord Jesus, not just be with some, but with you all. That's an encouragement, isn't it? And then notice the words grace and peace. Paul began 2 Thessalonians with grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And he ends with those same two words, peace and grace. Verse 16, now may the Lord of peace himself continually grant you peace in every circumstance. Peace is a traditional Jewish blessing of shalom, of wholeness. It has to do with peace, not conflict, but also has to do with peace as in fullness, not emptiness. Peace, shalom. Jesus is the Lord of peace. And Paul's prayer is that Jesus, the Lord of peace, would give you peace. And again, I want you to see the connection between this benediction and the body of the letter. We've seen as we walk through 2 Thessalonians that the church at Thessalonica was troubled by fear and confusion about the day of the Lord. They were troubled. They were confused. We've seen that the church at Thessalonica was dealing with division because of some disruptive members. And so Paul, thinking about their fear, their confusion, their division, prays for them, the Lord of peace be with you all. And when we study the text carefully, it doesn't come across in all of our English translations, but there's the New Testament word all in three different forms here. Pontos, ponti, ponton. There's a kind of a rhythm. All of you, all the time, all situations. Peace, Paul says. All of you, all the time, in all situations, peace. He edifies the church. And then he signs off in verse 18. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. In Paul's mind, the word grace is the one word summary of the gospel. When Paul wants to sum up the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ in a word, he tends toward the word grace. God in Christ giving us what we could never earn. Undeserved favor. Grace. What's interesting is that in ancient letters, the standard closing oftentimes was a word that means be strong. And so you would sign off to your friend, be strong, be strong. That's the ancient mindset. It's still the mindset of a lot of people today. Be strong. It's interesting that Paul, actually, in many ways, is writing to this group of Christians to challenge them to be strong. Stand firm. But he doesn't close his letter by appealing to their strength. He closes a letter by turning their attention to the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the foundation, isn't it? We stand firm in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so Paul ends with, grace, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Exalting Jesus, encouraging the brethren. As you plan your week, if somebody this evening asks you, what's going on this week? What do you got on your schedule? What are you going to do this week? Why don't you tell them that? I'm going to exalt Jesus and encourage my brethren. Hey, that's not a bad way to walk through life. Exalting Jesus, encouraging the brethren. It was a passion of Paul's life, and it should be the passion of ours. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for these beautiful words of blessing, of benediction. We praise you, Jesus, because you're the Lord of peace. The Lord of peace. And I pray, Father, that this dear congregation, that would each one know all peace in all circumstances at all times. That we'd stand firm in the grace that you give us. Lord Jesus, that you'd be with us all. Let's continue just a moment with heads bowed. We're going to have a public invitation. Some may want to come this evening to join church or come seeking a relationship with Christ. We'll help you in this time. And then after our invitation, we'll dismiss and have our time of prayer. Let's stand together and sing. And as we're singing, you come if you need to make a public response.